The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. On this Trinity Sunday, there are homilies that are legendary. Perhaps you've heard one of these, where the priest will stand up to give the homily on Trinity Sunday and say, the Blessed Trinity, it's a mystery, and then sit down. I've heard it a couple of times myself. I always think that that gives us a little bit too much permission not to pay attention to what we believe and to what we are able to know. I don't believe in undereducating anyone. And although I think sometimes the language, especially in the Gospel of John, can be sort of off-putting, sometimes a little difficult to follow, I in you and you in me, and all that he has given to me, he will take from what is mine and he will give it to you so that you might be one in us. You know how it seems to go on and on sometimes, how Jesus tries to express this mystery in his humanity, in his human words, even you can tell he's having difficulty trying to express the reality of what his life is with the Father and the Spirit. He says, the Father and I will come to you, and we will dwell in you, and the Spirit of truth that will come will reveal all that I know. So first of all, I would say that the word mystery isn't something we can't understand. A mystery is something we can absolutely understand, but we will never understand it fully until we are in heaven. So every time we approach the mystery of God and we encounter God and we engage God in prayer, that mystery becomes more and more accessible. We learn something new. The reason it's a mystery is because the ability to learn something new is infinite. So we have several ways that we can access what this looks like. I celebrated a wedding yesterday, a very nice wedding. And you know, you think about weddings and there's all the things that are needed to put together a nice wedding. You have the clothing and the flowers and the music and the reception, probably great food, all kinds of things going on. But the most important thing you have to have a wedding is two persons, right? Two persons who become one flesh. That's a mystery, isn't it? And yet it's a mystery that probably the majority of people in this church have already lived. You're living the mystery right now, even though you can't quite understand the whole thing. In fact, there probably are mysteries about your husband or wife that you probably will never fathom fully, right? Until we're together with God in heaven. Still, that couple, two become one, they remain a community of two persons, but that community brings forth life. It's in this way that the doctrine of the Blessed Trinity is the foundation of our Catholic understanding of the sacrament of marriage. Because by the nature of marriage, the family resembles God. That's what the sacrament of marriage is about. It's not really about us. It's about God and how we resemble God. Because a husband and a wife, they generate life and they generate love. So if you can take that concept of two persons being one, then why not be able to take that concept of three persons being one God? It's the same kind of stuff that all this is made of. God, who is like a family, in a sense, God is a community of life and love, creating and giving, reconciling, sustaining, redeeming, consecrating, challenging, supporting, constantly revealing. One God in three persons, not a unity of one person, but of three. God is a community. The foundation of our faith, the fact of our human dignity, is nothing less than the fact that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Yes, there are some kind of simple ways, I guess you could say, we're spirit, we have a soul, and that spirit would be the same substance, I guess you would say, of the Spirit of God. You can look into the tradition of the church and see a lot of explanations. Yes, you could say that we resemble the Trinity in our human being because our soul has the powers of intellect and memory and free will. Three things that are distinct but cannot function without each other. But the fact is, and I think today this might be one of our main problems, is that the treasure of our theology doesn't really fulfill our needs. Unless we take the step to recognize that God is three persons in relationship, that God is relational, that personality has no meaning outside of the context of relationship. We are relational as God is relational, made to be in relationship, because only in relationship is found love. This is the main point I want to make. Only in relationship do you find love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love, Jesus says. So where is that relationship to be found? Well, it's to be found wherever the greatest and the least of these, my brothers and sisters, are. Jesus shows us that he came to call and to save all people, and that the purpose of that was to be in relationship with him. Who is to be involved in this relationship? All persons. This is where it becomes very hard, because these are people who have a church or don't have a church. They're people who have a home or don't have a home. They're people who have a country or don't have a country. They're even people who have morals or have no morals. Because everyone, we believe, is in need of the love of God, and all are called to this relationship. Why do you think Jesus would have said, "I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you"? Why is this relationship important? Because religion is not a concept. You might say that theology exists on the level of ideas, but religion is not on that level. Religion is lived. Religion has to be a face-to-face encounter involving our relationship with God and every person that you're going to meet today. This is religion. It is how we take the concept of grace and we apply it to our relationships with all living things, all living beings created by God. We even have a relationship with our environment. That's what Pope Francis has been saying. So let me point out a problem we have in our society today. Because we are growing into a society that does not direct deeply with other human beings anymore. I think all you have to do is go online. Because there is now a forum in our society where you can say what you want with no filters. People say things they would never have said to a human being face to face. Never before. Things are said about people. Terrible things are given. And I think slowly it begins to creep into real life. This loveless approach to other people as concepts have allowed us to start to say things to one another we would never say, and to treat one another like we would never treat one another. Just think about all the little heads of people in boxes on the news every night that are shouting over each other. This was never supposed to be the way God's community lives. What about inhumanity in our world? Is that really a human person that we are not reverent for? What about pornography? Is that a real human person? Or is that just a picture of somebody? You see, the relationship is gone. And we have destroyed the image of God because we feel we have something to say and the right to say it whenever we want to, and it doesn't matter to whom or about whom or at the expense of whom, because people are faceless and not present, and we are no longer accountable. We have destroyed the image of God in our society. This community, this relationship of life and love, we have become something other than Blessed Trinity, something other than human. But listen to what I want to say. If you take the time to look into the eyes of another person and speak to them, how can you not see them and see yourself in the process? And then the words start to come back in, I and you and me. We start to make that connection, and the Trinity starts to come back to life in our relationships. I take what is mine, I give it to you. We have restored this likeness to God, which is our identity from before the foundation of the world. Pope Francis, I say this again, I've been using this a lot lately in my talks. We have the need to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to a world who really does want it. The message of good news is a message of life and love, of incorporation, literally being made into the body, incorporated, indwelling with God. This evangelization is the missing link to a humanity that has been dehumanized, is drifting, is seeking fulfillment in real relationship, not in the prison of isolation. How sad it must be to be one of these people who live most of their life in virtual reality. I would say virtual, non-virtuous reality. The evangelization of the life and the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit only happens through real open encounter, and this is Francis, real open encounter, real honest dialogue, and real loving relationship. We celebrate today this solemnity of the Blessed Trinity because the Blessed Trinity is our identity given to us by the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, so that we might be able to journey together with him to that day when we will all be in God and one another in the perfect existence of heaven. The nature of our God, three persons in one God, is our hope as we continue to seek to form a community that is faithful to his example.